This episode of Real Life Sci-Fi is brought to you by Epic Reads and the new sci-fi fantasy Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston.
New York Times bestselling author Victoria Schwab says Heart of Iron delivers a delightful cast and nonstop thrills. The pages flew by and I couldn't put it down.
Don't miss this epic adventure, perfect for fans of Six of Crows and Firefly.
Pick up Heart of Iron today. Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold.
Do you do audiobooks?
I tried, but the one that I tried to listen to was too quiet, and I was cooking.
Feral Audio.
So in the beginning, I go,
that's the beginning now. Thank you for introducing the show.
Cold open.
Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi, everybody. This is Wade. Oh, wait, let me do it again. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. This is Wade.
This is Willie.
And our special guest today is Dan Harmon. I mean, everybody who listens to this show probably knows who you are.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for saying that.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for acknowledging me.
Thank you for being so gracious.
Thank you for being a friend. On and on and on and back again.
Yep. Hey, good job, by the way, on At Midnight. I hear you're the most favoritist. What are they? Panel?
Yeah. I guess I was the best.
It was pretty great.
I guess I won that game show.
Did you end up winning? Were you the winner? Is there a winner?
Yeah, well, I won. I technically won that episode. Yes.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Which is shameful because I had the lowest score.
Do they give you a trophy or anything?
No.
It seems like they should, right? Just a stupid...
Even if it was a shitty printout award.
Yeah, like a certificate.
Yeah. I think the real award is like the writers coming up and going like, no shit, dude, for real. Best episode ever. and they all go, I know you think I'm kidding, but for real. And it's like, I still don't know if you're kidding. But they seem very proud of that episode, and I'm glad. Because I almost didn't want to do it.
It's something I would never want to do.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this, without going into too much detail, anyone can do it.
Why? Well, go into detail now, because now I'm curious.
I'm just saying, it's a TV show. They edit it.
Okay.
So
right. You
can
well,
do it.
Well, I guess we can talk about this, right?
Yeah,
we just can't say specifics.
Yeah.
We just got back from shooting a reality show where we are interviewing someone who thinks they're an alien.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are like the new Art Bell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me think that if he got as much shit as I get, I kind of feel bad for him. You know, it's easy to, on our trip home, we're just picking apart the whole thing. Like, oh, we should have done this. Here's other missed opportunities. But
it's like, because it's reality. So once you get done with it, the entire time you just think like, oh, fuck, when I said that. I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
It's just, you just second guess every single thing.
Take me through this, if you will. Like, you went out on a remote record session with a guy that said he was an alien.
It was a woman, first of all.
Oh, sorry.
This company approached us, actually, because they knew about our podcast. And we had to audition and all that stuff. And then they flew us to Sonoma, right?
Sedona,
Arizona. Where everybody thinks they're an alien, apparently.
Yeah, it's a weird new age place where there's four energy vortexes there, and a lot of people are into crystal healing. There's there's more crystal shops than restaurants there.
Yeah. So we just went, and she, you know, channeled aliens for us,
So she identifies as a human who was channeling alien life forms for you.
She was also a starseed, meaning her soul was an alien soul choosing a human life.
Hmm.
And then she would channel, apparently her job when she was an alien, she was on this Orion Council, and so she would channel them and then we could ask them questions.
Holy shit. That's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. Crazy.
Like, she's, like, for... Pretty... like, you, if you, by the way, I have the UN of the galaxy
right.
here.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to ask the president of Saturn something?
Yeah.
I don't mean to make light of it. I speaking of which, I don't know, what is the tone of your show? Are you guys like, you know, are you skeptical? Or is one of you is skeptical?
First of all, thank you for listening. Secondly. yeah, this is my spiel where I say...
First, I just want to say, awesome that you're a fan.
Which is why you're here. It's not because we're intertwined professionally. It's because you've listened to the show before.
I'm a big fan.
No, this is a podcast where we talk about sci-fi conspiracy theory.
I know that.
Well, this is my spiel that I do.
All right, continue.
I'm kind of the skeptic. Willie, he hates when I say this, but he's crazy and he believes everything. And then he just kind of like, we'll pick a topic. We'll ask you if you know anything about it. Mm-hmm. And then he'll give us a bunch of whatever he knows. We'll just talk about some shit. And then at the end, you can decide what you really think.
Oh.
It's not like, I mean, sometimes we do that, sometimes we don't. We've been forgetting to.
Yeah, our last few episodes have just been... almost not necessarily conspiracy or anything specific, just broad.
When we started, it was stuff that Willie actually really did believe, and he would try to convince us. Mm. But now that it's just kind of general discourse, like, because today's topic, you're not really, you just sort of know about.
Well, I just started looking it up yesterday, and I've always heard about it, but my problem was, we're talking about Hollow Earth today,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard things of, like, I've filtered in things that aren't a part of the theory, like reptilians underneath the ground, or, you know, that live deep below in bases and you know. So I've mixed a lot of things together. Hollow Earth theory is very specific, and I could be on board for this. It's pretty fascinating.
Here's my thing about Hollow Earth. Okay, so as a mythologist, I find it very convenient that, according to science, the center of the Earth is made out of a big fireball that you can't go to.
Yeah, and it's like, rotating, and
yeah, and it's like I know that scientists are always right, like they're not lying, they're not covering anything up. But at the same time, like, I also feel like it's fucking weird that we live on this planet that is so big, and like you can dig down into it with a shovel, and you know that there's a lot of shit down there. And we know that people dig down deeper and they make subway tunnels and stuff. And so, first of all, you start from the standpoint of, like, you know the government is, like, digging down as deep as they can.
Yeah.
You know that's the first thing they did, just as surely as you know the government flew up as high as they could.
Right. Yeah.
That's the first thing a government's going to do. The first and second thing. How high can we get a ship? Can we get it higher than our enemies? And and what can we drop on our enemies? And how high can we go? And of course you're going to go, how deep can we dig? Of course you're going to do that. And I find it particularly fascinating that we never talk about the latter.
That's true.
We don't talk about.
Well, there's also that whole thing about
great moments in digging. There's no Lindbergh of depth.
Yeah.
Right.
Which makes me suspicious.
I have seen some drilling where, where they keep adding pipes and go deeper and deeper, where basically the ground gets so hot that they can't cool the bit down enough, and so it won't dig anymore.
So really the temperature rises relatively soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because this was specifically in Alaska. Yeah.
I'm here to learn.
They were,
welcome to the show.
They were deep.
I figured. I have a sneaking suspicion nobody's lying to us. But I also think sometimes, everyone's lying to us.
And also, you know, depending on what kind of ground you're digging through, too, produces different results, you know, like.
Right. I derailed you. You were going
to
say something.
Oh, right? No, I was just talking about how, like, they haven't been to the bottom of the ocean. It's kind of the same thing as, like, how could they not have been to the bottom of the ocean?
Right, yeah. Why wouldn't they try?
It doesn't seem Like, why wouldn't... Yeah, why wouldn't
We've been to the moon,
yeah,
motherfucker. Like, so it's, like, it the craziest like, thing.
So it seems like they 100% have been down there.
They have been down.
And they're just not telling us...
withholding, yes.
That it's like, you know, heaven down there.
If
it's
I
just
were a government, and I would make a gigantic underground base.
It would be...
That is what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, you would do that before you had airplanes.
I would do that as... at Ben Franklin times.
Yeah, because you know you can... Because you know you can go down.
Yeah,
like, you don't need anything to go down.
I would say, Ben's flying a kite. You guys over here, dig down. Keep digging, because the Redcoats may not be digging as deep. Like yeah. we could dig to England and come up under London and so fucking
we'll
take
show
over.
Them. We'll get them.
It's worth a shot. We've tried dumber shit.
There is a big conspiracy theory of underground bases, and that basically there are freeways connecting states, major states.
It is fact, for instance, just for all the people listening that are like, that's crazy, underground tunnels to different states and stuff. In Los Angeles, there are tunnels from downtown Los Angeles to, like, Venice Beach or something.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
I didn't know that. You're not talking about the sewer system.
No.
There's like... There
I'm
was
talking
old...
about civic tunnels for civil servants. The mayor.
No shit.
All this stuff. This is a real thing. I'm not lying.
There used to be... Before they had subways, they had underground tunnels that carriages would ride through. And some of those have been converted to that. But yeah... There's an underground city in every city.
They have an absolute evacuation tunnel from the downtown of Los Angeles out to a beach.
Which is weird because that's going to let
beach
the water
like...
come into downtown.
But they're not worried about water. They're worried about poor people. The water you can throw a towel on. Poor people, they just keep on coming. It's a paradox of any major city that the people in the middle of the city, that's where City Hall is. That's where these important people are, blah, blah, blah. Those people need to know that if shit goes down, they can scoot.
So you're talking about, like, riots. You're not talking about...
Yes,
okay, you're not
That's
talking...
why those tunnels
Castle
are there.
Castle escape plans, basically. White House escape plans, whatever.
Those are real. I mean, what I know is real because I talked to a location manager that shot in those tunnels.
What?
Those are real tunnels.
So how important do you have to be to get in there?
You have to be Bruckheimer. You have to be... Abrams, you have to, but...
Well, like, I think next up on your agenda should be write a fucking 2012 script, you know, and so that we can just
can
go down.
The tunnels?
Yeah, so we can go down and look at the tunnels.
It's not, like when the riots happen, Bruckheimer's going to be allowed into the tunnels just because he shot a shitty movie.
I just want to see him. I like seeing
the
shit
mayor's
like
going to be like, sorry, these are for me. Like, the tunnels as described to me are, it's like Westworld. Like they are the width that allows for a golf cart to, you know, move people.
Yeah, and the inner like city ones, for me, most of these ideas are basically the beans are spilled by, you know, like truck drivers that have traveled from state to state underground, because they, you know, they're not as obliged to secrecy as someone who's sworn their life to a position.
What? Why would they let truck drivers use it?
They transfer materials to
like secret stuff.
Yeah,
the military doesn't handle that. They just hire.
No, they do. But there's a lot of other people that use it. I don't know that much about it right now, but the guys that are spilling the beans are truck drivers.
It all makes perfect sense because, like, for real, like, so those tunnels are real, unless my friend is a liar who shot a movie down there.
Yeah,
there's a tunnel from downtown LA out to outside LA. So extrapolate that. So they let movie directors down into those tunnels. That's the level of secrecy.
Right.
That's the level of government. That's the level of finance. Now extrapolate that.
That's like level one.
To a nation that at one time put the energy into trying to make Martin Luther King kill himself. That tried to make Castro's beard fall out. These fuckers will try anything. You're telling me they haven't dug deep? They didn't make a big ass tunnel?
Yeah.
Like,
you know what's great is...
You know they did.
Like, and you think of underground bases, too, on top of that. Like the last time an asteroid got too close to the Earth,
mm-hmm.
to where, you know, there is a science to it, but also there's unpredictability too.
And then Obama was like, "I'm going to Colorado."
Yep, he was at the last time one was too close. He had a surprise stop at DIA,
right?
Because that is a major underground base.
Jeff Davis, I was just drinking with him today, and he mentioned that. Because I mentioned Hollow Earth to him, and he was like, yeah, he immediately mentioned that. The Obama, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that. I feel like you don't have to say that the president is going anywhere in order to... I would imagine that there was a tunnel going from the basement of the White House to almost anywhere you need
to. Well, but
to
this
go.
Is... Yeah. It's like a last minute, like, get him there. It's close.
I find it hard to believe that the contingency plans that they have are dependent on getting the president by limo to an airport. You know, I would think that would be the first thing that they would go, okay, we can't do that. Like, we need to have tunnels.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like, using the LA example, it's like, so now consider DC. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, where was Obama
under the White House?
Where was Obama
out,
when that happened, though?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know specifics of it. And then so that last one that happened like last week, it wasn't close enough because he didn't pop in there. There was a
that
close
was what
asteroid.
Willie was talking was about
remember,
last
and
week.
And we were just talking about, and I was at the bar with Jeff and Dino, and Dino was laughing about it because it's like this impulse we have where we're like, oh, the president has to be hidden. You know, he has to be protected. It's like, what is that impulse we have? This is a civil servant that we elect for a 4-year term to run a country made of bureaucracy. Why do we want that guy to survive in a post-apocalypse? Yeah. He's going to, like, Dino's like, so he can come up and be the president of rubble?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, yeah. What kind of decisions are there to make at that
How good
point?
Is Obama going to be
right.
at that?
Picture Mad Max with a president walking around. Like,
what well, we should have, we should always have, we should add a cabinet position that's like,
oh.
Apocalypse czar.
No, he's like, really good at camping.
This guy can eat human flesh.
He can make a fire.
He can tell what you're thinking by smelling your ass. He has a bone through his nose. He always says, "What a lovely day," no matter what you say. He loves petrol and human skulls, and he ain't afraid to interchange the two. And he let me introduce, you know, Glub Glub. And we should always have that guy on standby. And he represents America. That's the only thing. So, like, tell me that my country has that guy on the payroll. Oh, then I'll relax. So that, like, I know that if I can dig a deep enough bomb shelter, when I come up above ground, Glub Glub will be the president.
Yeah,
and then I'll be like, he's sworn in an oath, you know,
yeah.
And like I promise to eat babies and protect America.
We're all just going to be slaves to Glub Glub, but we'll be alive. We won't be taken by road warriors.
Yeah, like I won't if I come up out of my bomb shelter and there's like rapists waiting for me. I'll be like, don't you dare. Glib, I'm a citizen of this country. Glib, still.
Glib Glub dictates that we murder other people, yeah. Not each other.
Who is your leader? A guy in a suit? Get him, Glub Glub.
Right.
So, all right. Explain this.
Well, wait, hold on. What do you think of Hollow Earth right now?
Well, I'm expressing what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. On one hand, like...
But belief-wise, though, like...
I'm pretty sure that if scientists say that the center of the Earth is molten iron, which apparently generates a magnetic field that, you know, it's all part of, like, how the planet works. I don't think that's, like, a pre-Copernican, like, kind of dogmatic thing. I think they've figured that out, I guess. I'm not ready to believe that's a conspiracy.
Yeah,
I don't think that anyone got together and said, from now on, let's pretend that the center of the Earth is a big ball of fire. I will say, as a mythologist, however, that sounds like it. Doesn't it? It sounds like something that parents tell their kids to keep them from digging to the center of the Earth. There's a sun down there, and it'll burn you up.
Stop ruining the yard.
But as
you get
said,
to the sun.
People who are deep, deep core fracking or whatever, you know, their shit melts at a certain depth, like, so I guess as much as I want to believe that there's a literal hollow earth, I guess I'm skeptical about that. I don't believe that is. I wish there was. I really wish there was.
Okay, so here's a few things I'm going to say about science before I go into hollow earth.
Okay, but can you? It's I don't What I'm afraid of is I don't know what you guys are talking about because I don't know what the actual theory of Hollow Earth is.
So, go ahead.
Hollow Earth, I'll bring up some specific examples of like where they started popping up and like the history of it. But basically, that
no, sum it up in like one sentence. What is it?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, that the Earth, the crust of it is actually 800 to 2,000 miles thick, and that at the top, and it's more like a shell. And so at the top and bottom, there are entrances to go into it. And
the North and South Pole. There's like holes.
And that the center of any planet is more like a sun, and that there are inhabitants living on the inside. So picture like plastic Easter egg, right?
Yeah.
Basically, that there's a sun in the middle of it, and where they live are on the opposite side of the ground from us.
Oh, so
and
this allows for a molten core.
The crust is actually the what provides the gravity.
So they are standing upside down?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. on the inside surface.
Yeah.
So it's like which actually holds up to kind of scientific, the idea of like in the sci-fi movies when they have a gravitational field, like it's like, you know.
Right.
It's about centrifugal force.
Yeah.
Centrifugal force.
And so like one thing I want to say
it's Elysium rules.
You know, science, there are, you know, you have to prove and reprove and things change, and you can still prove things right under the new science that has been discovered or whatever. But basically picture this. Einstein, when he died, was unhappy because his science didn't hold up.
Are you guys picturing
this? The tragic tale of Einstein. When Einstein died, he was a sad man.
Are you really
his
picturing
out,
this?
That was the clown side
taste
of Einstein.
Taste his tears.
That was him putting a mask on his feelings.
E equals MC sorrow.
Because he, okay, like when at the time, when in his old age, they started coming up with you know, I can't even think of the word. I've been maybe drinking too fast.
AIDS.
The particle, nuclear stuff? Particle theory, physics. What's the overall
AIDS?
Word of like physics of the small?
Quantum?
Yeah, quantum mechanics.
Wow, you are drunk.
So when quantum mechanics was coming out and he was like
AIDS.
turning up his nose to it because these theories didn't apply to planets.
Right.
But his theories didn't apply to on the atomic and molecular sides of things. So just to say this, our science is wrong. They think that there's just a missing, you know, link that will link everything together. But basically, these two massive sciences clash with each other. They don't work. They don't agree with each other.
And this is where the hologram theory comes from.
Yeah.
That the universe is a hologram or a projection or something? What is it?
Our existence is closer to a projected hologram.
The only reason they think that is because it ties those two things. We're not wrong.
Oh, that we're a simulation, that whole thing.
Yeah, but a simulation has more purpose behind it than just a straight-up hologram.
Well, it ties together these two theories, Einstein's theory and then what's the other one?
Quantum mechanics, basically.
Okay.
But the string theory or M theory is trying to piece these two sciences
because
together.
Those two theories don't match up. The only thing that makes them match up is if we were a hologram somehow. So it's kind of a weird theory because it's like we're all right as long as we just
as
pretend
long as
like
this
we're
is
a
true.
Hologram.
Yeah. And so check this out. One idea of how, you know, because Hollow Earth doesn't work unless you mix the science into it. And so, you know, because it's like, what about the science? And so what some people are saying is that follow Hollow Earth is, okay, you know, do you know what dark matter is?
Yeah, like kind of.
Like nobody can really describe it, but basically all dark matter is
it's the matter in between the things that they can't account for, right?
Yeah, but basically, for what we know about our solar system, and we apply that to the universe, there's the math doesn't add up, and there's so much matter missing that they're like, there's got to be something else. So they just came up with dark matter.
Right.
And they're trying to have proof of it.
You know, before Einstein, they used to say there was such a thing as the ether to explain relativity.
And so what somebody proposes is that Hollow Earth actually makes our model of the universe fit better, because then all of the planetoids, all of the planets and all the suns, are, if they're hollow, it accounts for all of the dark matter that's missing to make that science right.
But meaning, let me ask that, you... Oh. Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
Let me ask you, I don't know if this derails where you're going with this, but if...
But wouldn't you like a Snickers? Yes, Snickers. Packed with peanuts. It really... Oh, man, you guys are rich.
You don't do that on yours?
We do hopeful advertising.
Do you think a wheat could be so thin that dark matter could...
It would be... Okay, so the wheat would be so thin that it would be delicious and nutritious?
Sorry, go ahead.
If drill equipment is getting so hot that it's melting, then how are people even further in the earth... like surviving those temperatures, or are they a different species?
It actually is just a whole different thing altogether. The center of that core, or the center of the rock, is still hot because the plates are still moving. That's all still correct, but it's a shell instead of a whole thick body of rock.
But they're...
I don't understand that. You mean that the reason these things are melting is because of friction, not because the temperatures are high down there?
Oh, no. I think that a lot of the things that we know are still work, because picture that eggshell, you know.
Yeah.
If our Earth was an eggshell,
but you're talking
it still
about
gets hotter towards the center of that shell, because the there still are plate tectonics at work. It still is hotter down there. It just doesn't get extremely hot to the center of the core. The core is a sun. But somebody else brought this idea up. Picture anything in the universe that has a swirl. Planets forming,
Holly Berry,
coffee, in
tornadoes.
The morning.
There's always a center, a black hole. There's always a center where things are not right. That's like there's still gravity, but in that swirling, there's a center that stuff doesn't get into.
I'm just how do people survive the heat?
It's not. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay,
like it gets hotter to the center of the shell, but then it cools back down to the inner outer of the shell. But the sun is not necessarily a sun as you know it. It is just the energy that is creating the gravity from.
Okay, but if I'm picturing an Easter egg, right?
Yeah,
a plastic Easter egg. You crack it open. Where is the like, I feel like I need a diet.
I'm not. This is gonna sound sarcastic, but this is the best podcast in the fucking world. And it's not sarcastic.
Yeah, like I am by no means a specialist.
I want to do this for 6 hours.
Please, we can.
I do wish a physicist could like drop in. Although he'd probably kill our buzz.
Yeah. He would fucking ruin it.
Because he'd be a lizard man shell.
He's on the inside.
For the fucking, for the Obama lizard people.
I'm just saying, all right, here. All right. Let's say we fill up a plastic Easter egg shell with Jell-O, and we let it cool, and then we crack that open. So now there's like two hemispheres. Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you put the people... I understand that the core is molten.
But it's hollow.
It's totally hollow?
On the inside of this Easter egg shell.
Right.
You put it...
Because it's not... When you're filling an eggshell with Jell-O, that's solid.
But then I was going to ask where we dig out the Jell-O.
Right.
Like, what remains of the Jell-O when you're looking at two
20%
hemispheres?
20% of the rim, you know.
So 20% of the rim, and then they're standing on the opposite side.
They're standing on the
and then are they looking straight up at a molten sun?
Well, the Earth is, you know, you and I are standing on something even more absurd, which is the surface of a round planet. It would actually be less absurd because they'd have Am I wrong about this?
Like, no, that's what somebody was saying, was that, like, planets weren't meant to be lived on the outside of.
Yeah. It's actually a little sillier that we think that Burbank Avenue, like, goes straight and connects to a thing, but we're actually, like, on the surface of a round thing.
I mean, yeah, if I picture, like, a meteor, like, traveling through space, you're right. Like, the outside of that would be the last.
And so being on the inside of the thing, and it's spinning around and around and around, so being sucked out. Outward.
Sure.
Is there two forces, centrifugal force, and then there's...
Well, old science suggested that there was centrifugal force, but now it's just centripetal force, the force going out, that there isn't a force holding it in. That force holding in was just you holding it, right. And that's not a force inward.
At any rate, so you're in a big space station called Earth, and you're walking on the... inside
I guess
surface
you know
it.
What I'm doing? I'm picturing it like a cartoon. And
it is cartoonish.
No, because the Earth is so big, I'm picturing like this fucking molten sun like right above these people when it's probably like...
Oh, yeah, it'd be a fair distance away. Well, no, I'm confused. I mean, obviously, Willie just took a huge silent pause when you confronted him about the temperature, because he's like, I don't know. Why are the drill bits melting, but then all of a sudden people can be living?
Right.
I haven't gotten into any of this stuff. Like, there's the hollow Earth, the idea that the Earth is hollow is sort of analogous to the idea that the Earth is flat. Not to denigrate either theory, but to say that there are very, very big theories that are easily disprovable and easily defendable.
Yeah.
Because they're just huge. The interesting thing to me is that it serves as this nexus, because there's people who believe in aliens, and there's people who believe that the Nazis are still going, and there's people who believe in cattle mutilation, and there's people who believe that Courtney Love killed Cobain, and there's people... And Hollow Earth kind of like... You can suck all of this shit into the Hollow Earth. Like, the Hollow Earth can contain Third Reich-loving aliens that travel in time and are mutilating cattle who didn't want Cobain to live.
I think that's why Willie, at the beginning when he talked about, that he had added all of these, like, reptilian things to it and stuff like that. Because this community of people that believe this shit, like, they don't just believe one thing. They don't just believe aliens. They believe that there's aliens and that there's a base on moon and
but
that
if you
the
look
Earth
at the,
is hollow.
Right. But some of the interesting aspects of the pure hollow Earth theory include the idea that that the outside of a ball of dirt hurtling through space is actually the grosser part of that.
Yeah, like a picture of geode.
And that's actually the place where, like, spores would grow. So if you leave a loaf of bread on the counter, like, when that bread goes bad, far after it's bad for you, you see green shit on the top of it. We make the mistake of going, I'll peel off the green shit when you're 25 and you can't afford a loaf of bread. We've all done this. I'll just peel off that part of the bread. Well, guess what, asshole? That bread is saturated with bacteria. Those are the spores. The whole bread, including the center of it, deep inside the bread, has been taken over by these things. So if life hits a planet, does it simply dwell on the surface, or... I mean, I sound a little stupid because it's like, the answer is yes, to doy. But, like, the intriguing thing about the idea is that everyone's sitting here and everything that we're doing is, like, exist in some latter-day folly, and that there's some pure civilization underneath there. That's what I was reading about Hollow Earth theories, that there's dinosaurs down there.
Yeah.
There's Bigfoot down there.
There's mammoths.
Mammoths. Because none of it was subjected to the rigors of the sun and of toxicity. Like we're kind of the diseased lepers of...
Right.
Of Earth that were ejected out from the... So then you have these other... Like... That seems to, like, run at cross purposes to the idea of just, like, look, the government probably has a bunch of shit underground. That's very feasible to me.
Yeah.
So some people kind of intersect those theories. and go, yeah, the government knows that the earth is hollow. The government knows there's mammoths down there. The government knows that there's that the aliens that we see in the sky are actually from down there. There was a guy in Art Bell who called in and said, I had a car accident and I saw the light and I get everything now and I understand that there's shit underneath the earth and I'm gonna take a one-man helicopter backpack thing. I'm gonna go up to the North Pole and I'm gonna lower myself down into the hole that I know is there at the North Pole that goes down to the center of the earth.
That's like
and
wait,
then he disappeared.
Oh wow.
Wait, what did he? He was gonna repel into it, right?
He was gonna helicopter down into
it. He was gonna helicopter down.
If I understood the one article I read about it,
that's like.
And then he disappeared. Did you not hear that part?
Everybody disappeared. I'm pretty sure everybody on our bill has disappeared. nobody's coming back.
If you're calling into Art Bell, you're 48 hours from disappearing, whether you're an alien or not.
You're just that irrelevant as a whole.
48 hours before I disappear, I'm calling Art Bell just to say goodbye.
But like, yeah, you're going to disappear, especially if your plan is to fly a helicopter into the earth.
Right.
That's, what are you going
to
do?
Hey, like, he wanted to fucking, how about that mailman that landed on the congressional front lawn? And he's like, I'm 70, I'm fucking doing this.
With the, yeah, that was great. But that's different. Like,
this is not different. He's like, fuck this. I guess you guys have a hollow earth, I'm fucking doing this.
Is he just, but he's not going to nosedive into it. He's going to just kind of gradually go down.
If I read the article right, he was going to Inspector Gadget, like, down into the fucking navel of the earth.
Yeah.
If I read it right. And then we lost contact with him.
Yeah, well, of course
he was,
we
like,
did.
He was updating people. Like,
oh, really?
About his expedition, and then we lost contact.
Just climbed down another rock. I don't know. The tape measure ran out.
I see the hole. I don't know if AT&T is covering me up here, but looks like the earth's hollow. I'll be right back.
I mean, yeah, you can spelunk. You can get there's caves that are like as deep as Everest or whatever.
Yeah.
So here's
how this kind of all this is. There are a couple things attached to every Hollow Earth thing, and I didn't attach these. These are attached everywhere for me. One of them is Admiral Byrd. Now I'll get into him in a second. And the other thing is the Nazis.
Yeah,
they're all over this.
Fascinating.
So here's the thing. Admiral Byrd in all right. So in 1947, Admiral Richard E. Byrd of the United States Navy flew over the North Pole, and he was. Nobody had done it before, and your instruments get messed up when you get close to the North Pole, and most people don't have enough gas. That's the problem. There's no landing points over the North Pole. And I will say this as a side note, too. I guess the North Pole and the South Pole supposedly are no-fly zones. You're not allowed to fly over them.
Who's going to... Really? Who's
protecting those?
Yeah.
Who has a right to protect those?
Some people say America. Some people say it's because there are secret bases there.
Some people say? I mean, if there are no fly zones.
I don't know. Well, the thing I looked up recently is that they are just now starting to allow planes to fly over the North Pole. But I still think that if I subscribe to Hollow Earth theory, that they're just going to avoid the entrance to the Hollow Earth. The Hollow Earth entrance is about 50 to 70 miles wide. So you could just not see it if you were a little bit off the North Pole. You know,
I love this so much. I love the idea that at both poles, not one, but both, there's at least a giant hole.
You know, when you look at old satellite pictures
on the South Pole, there's not even any land, right? There's like nothing there. So, like, what is the hole?
On the North Pole, there's just ice. On the South Pole,
there's not even ice.
Antarctica's on the South Pole.
Oh, Antarctica's South Pole. Okay, so the North Pole
is just water, and there are big icebergs and ice everywhere, but...
Well, maybe that explains the icebergs are just falling into the middle of the...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean...
you wish.
The thing is that people that subscribe to this...
That way we can keep polluting as much as we want.
You can run your air conditioner all day.
But that ocean goes on the inside of the shell also. And so basically, the gravity is not concave, it's convex. So sure. It goes around the shell, not in towards the center. And so Admiral Broad's flying over the North Pole. He sees an entrance. And at first this sounded ridiculous because I'm like, why are you going to fly into a hole? The hole is 50 to 70 miles wide. It's a gigantic hole. But also, when you fly into it, your gravity is adjusting it to the crust. So he didn't have to feel like he went upside down. Just by going around the shell, your gravity stays the same. So he flew over the North Pole, and he said he went into this portal, and a lot of this stuff didn't come out till after he died, because, of course, he's not allowed to talk about these things.
He let a little bit of it slip while he was alive.
When he died, his his nephew released his diary. His diary had all this information in it. In this information, he's flying. Now, this is a true thing about the North Pole. The North Pole, it's all water. But at the very northern part, it's warmer than 100 miles south of it. It shouldn't get warmer at the top. Mm-hmm. That's just a weird anomaly. It is warmer at the center if you're close to that. So he flies in. As he's flying, he starts to notice like, oh, that's weird. That looks like a mammoth. He gets lower and closer. sees a woolly mammoth.
Whoa, what is that? That's weird.
That kind of
looks like a woolly mammoth.
That looks like a mammoth?
He starts seeing dinosaurs.
He just flew into a hole and is on the inside of the earth, and he thinks the weird thing is a mammoth?
Well, like, to him, he doesn't know he went into a hole.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, it kind of looks like a hole, but...
He thinks he rounded a corner.
His gravity adjusted. He noticed he couldn't see the sun anymore, and then there was a dirty, smoky sun. It like, wasn't as bright as our sun. Anyways, eventually he gets to a point where he sees people. He lands, and he talks to them.
Is this a plane?
Yeah, it's just a plane.
What is it? What kind of plane?
Oh, I don't know.
What year was this?
1947.
Okay. So he's just in a fucking twin prop with a shark mouth on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just getting out with ear flaps.
It was
and
probably a little
he's
bigger
Robert
he
Conrad
had the gas,
and yeah. Black Sheep Squadron. Okay. He's got a cigar in his mouth.
When he talks to these people, they say that this is a Agartha, and that they let him land because they could telepathically tell that he was a good person. They let him in. Uh-huh. They don't let everybody in.
Most of the people they do what to?
Well, at the North Pole, it's kind of like somebody was explaining how ships could avoid going in. Well, also, some people think that the entrance is in the air. Not, you can't like be on the ocean and go, but that's how some people have claimed they've done it. So basically, though, if you were on a ship, most people follow their compasses. And since your compass if our gravity is wrong and it is convex, it would follow. It would just send you around the hole, not into it, because the gravity is the crust, not the magnetic point would be the crust.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
okay. It makes sense.
So a lot of people they would go around it. So, anyways, he goes in. He talks to these people. He stays there for a while. They have a message. They let him in because he's a nice guy, ultimately, and that they have a message for him to give back to us. And it's basically that, you know, quit nuking each other. That it affects us too. You're actually going to kill a whole planet, and you don't even know it's down here. Or they're more advanced than us. They're an Aryan group, blonde hair, blue eyes, taller than us.
We knew that.
You hear that, black people?
We already knew that.
Get your shit together.
But so he comes back, doesn't really have the message. He has a private meeting with the president because he also knows that there's an entrance at the South Pole. And then he go from that. They're like, let's go get the South Pole too. And he flies over.
Admiral Byrd.
Yeah.
Now he's going to go to the South Pole.
Yeah.
Wait, is he still in the Earth? He's going to fly?
No, he came back. He's come back and talked to the
president.
He came back, secret meeting
talked
with the president.
To the president.
Yeah.
And the president said... The president listened to this meeting, and the president's reaction was,
go to the South Pole.
I think, as a president, the proper response to this is that you should get in another plane and go to the South Pole.
Yeah. So he goes to the South Pole.
I mean, that's a great way to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
I love that president. All right,
let's lay into the crazy. let's just lean into it real hard.
He's Art Bell. The president is Art Bell.
If we just send him out again, he's bound to die. And then we don't have to deal with any of it.
That's the problem that solves itself. Either he's Christopher Columbus or he's dead.
If he comes back again, fuck it. I'm in.
Send him to the east. Keep looking for holes.
So he flies over the South Pole and comes back, and then they send him on another expedition. This expedition to the South Pole, he goes with a whole naval fleet. They say it's a scientific expedition. There's destroyers with him. There's a whole naval fleet going. The reason why the naval fleet was with them was because the Nazis were already there. So here's where we bring in the Nazi stuff. Right. The Nazi stuff is amazing because... you know, I've talked about this before where they were searching for ancient relics and looking for ancient wisdom. And here's what some people claim happened. I don't know if you're aware, but he did have a psychic with him that was...
Who, Hitler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He like hired psychics, and some people claim that those psychics were contacting aliens.
Mm. Hitler.
Yeah.
Had a psychic with him all the time?
The man himself?
Well, like Himmler's group, like the Third Reich was, or the SS were basically spawned from, they were more of a, like a secret society. What do you call that? I don't know. But anyways, they ended up being his army. But the SS was supposed to be...
They were like a coup, right? They were like a...
They started out as them trying to find information to prove... why the Aryan race was the number one race, even though it turns out that, you know,
that we are
Germans aren't actually Aryan because they got brown hair and brown eyes. So one of his psychics was Maria Ostrich, something like that. She was an Austrian medium. She started a society, the Vril Society.
So this is the point where we have to just be on board with Hitler is at the South Pole with his forces.
Hitler's not.
Well, I just want to throw up in some weird things.
Hitler's
right?
got dudes at the South Pole.
You've heard of the story in the Bible of Samson where like they cut his hair and he lost his power. There was this weird documentary, or not necessarily a documentary, but for a while in Vietnam they were hiring Native Americans and they were very good at tracking.
No.
And they had
gross.
They could. They were very good at, like, knowing when they were doing these tests with them where, like, people would sneak up on them and then they'd just be aware of it and be able to stop. Mm. So they sent them in for special reconnaissance, right? Mm. What happened was they're doing all these tests with them and they're like, wow, these guys are really intuitive. They actually have, like, almost like a psychic power. Let's send them out on the battlefield.
They really have their ear to the ground, so to speak. Yeah.
They give them these military haircuts and then they lose all of their special powers.
No.
The instinct.
No.
So then they do the test again.
This is the Creepshow theorem.
Yeah. They do the test again and they start doing it with guys that have haircuts and then they cut their hair and they're like, wow, they're actually, this isn't working.
I'm going to die.
They're like, yeah, I know.
I'm going to die of a heart attack.
So I just
wanted
to bring.
Did they try like flat top versus bowl cut?
Yeah.
Like, did they try different things?
Just long hair, short hair.
Did like a Ryan Gosling thing? It's like some kind of bedhead. If it felt like they just got up. But, like, they were still well-groomed, but, like, they just woke up. Then they could tell when chicks were nearby.
They're a little bit more in tune because they looked good without trying.
So, like, all this sounds ridiculous and crazy. But
what about the Native Americans who were going bald? I mean, what about male pattern baldness?
Do Native Americans go bald? I've actually never seen one.
Yeah, now I want to change the podcast.
Because they cover it up with their headdresses.
I don't know, like, yeah, I actually want to know.
I've never seen a bald Native American.
You don't see Native Americans in popular culture that are just like,
holy
have like a comb over or like.
No wonder they were so into scalping. Because that's the source of their powers. They're trying to cut off the source of other people's powers. They don't understand that we don't.
They successfully did that, and that's why they're never bald. Or are you saying?
No. I'm saying like this kind of all explains their fascination with scalps, right?
Maybe they knew about it.
So they're cutting off the hair of their enemies, you know.
So this girl, Maria Osterich.
You took it to a dark place.
No. Your assumption took it to the dark
right
place.
I was right with you. We were just talking about like a fun, like.
Okay, let's take it back to the Frankie Valli haircut.
All right.
Anyways, this lady, Maria Osterich. She runs this real. She runs this viril society, and they connect to alien races, and they grow their hair out way long, like longer past their butt. And what they claim is that your hair is actually more like
these are the people in the Earth.
No, this is Hitler's psychic.
Okay.
So look up, the viril society, V-R-I-L. Basically, what they claimed was that their hair was like a whisker to their third eye, and it allowed them to channel and connect to aliens, and that they had connected with people inside the Earth. Hmm. She claimed that her hair acted as an antenna.
So Hitler had a psychic that traveled with him that was a young Native American lady?
Oh, no, I just wanted to bring that up for the hair story.
But Hitler had a young lady with him that had hair.
Yeah. The whole viril society was like girls with long hair.
Oh, okay.
They made them keep their hair long so that they could channel better.
You made a face like I was going to make. Okay.
Yeah, go on.
You're saying things that are true or not true.
There's a point in every podcast where you have to go like, okay, I'm gonna go along with this to hear where he's going.
Right. I do want to hear.
Yeah. So now we're at the South Pole with a vril.
And there's like, and yeah. This is a real life Indiana Jones thing. It's just like Hitler's forces are at the South Pole, ostensibly because they already know the secret of the North Pole.
Yeah. They started going in 1936.
Describe these people as Aryan when Admiral Byrd landed. Like, I don't know if the theory is that, like, the Nazis are the people that peopled the inside of the Hollow Earth, or...
No, here's the thing. If the Thule Society, which was where Hitler's occult society, where they got all their beliefs from, they were trying to... This was from the history research that they'd done. Basically, there were past civilizations that had risen and fallen, like Atlantis. Let's say Atlantis was the fourth civilization that got big and lost their power. So the Thule Society was the civilization that happened before the Atlanteans. And so he claimed that all Germans were a part of that race and that they were taking the Earth back.
Right.
And
all right, get back to the Hollow Earth.
And that's actually true, yes. I mean, that is... Joseph Campbell has a big, long foreword in one of his books that's like, look, I'm a comparative mythologist. I want to talk about how our stories all come from the same place, but this is a dynamite keg because in the past, people who have implied that we all came from the same place have used that idea for horrible evils.
Yeah.
And Joseph Campbell's a Catholic and he doesn't want to be a Nazi. This I understand. Yes, the Nazis were constantly on the search for proving that they were the golden age of humanity, and that what they were doing therefore was cleansing like all this horrible Xeroxed garbage.
Yeah,
you know, let's get back to basics and reboot this wonderful species, so we can all look like tiny 4-foot men with Charlie Chaplin mustaches. Boy, was that guy racially pure?
Yeah, right.
Well, just look at him. What a handsome specimen! Can't wait to put him in the Olympics.
Why don't
versus
people,
a black guy?
Do people not talk about that? Like, what's the deal?
I don't understand.
Why does
that
he wants blonde-eyed, blue-eyes, and he's neither?
And his wife was Jewish.
Well, that's like, why that society kind of stopped doing research because, like, well, you know what? A lot of us aren't what we claim
doesn't
to be.
Work that
so,
way. I talked to an anthropology student, and I think this is a little fringe in itself, but I think it's worth margining with the rest of everything. But you know, the idea that what we call the Aryan bloodline is actually a collection of washed out genes from people who were kind of like kicked out of all the actual purebred tribes.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm speaking for my tribe. I'm one of these people, apparently. No, but I think that what you call white is not a race at all. It's negative space. It's garbage. It's actually like it's what's left over. Any traceable ethnicity is, from a white perspective, is actually true ethnicity and true like baseline. And what we call white is garbage people, like people who were ejected, like a wandering tribe of rapists and murderers who all bred with each other and then who subsequently took over by descending on these cities and going, guess what, we're back. We've had children with each other and we're like these weird Village of the Damned people because we're like genetically washed out.
Now we're going to build a system and then manipulate it.
And I mean, now we take you over because it's like, it doesn't matter how many alphabets and mathematical systems you come up with, now it's our property because we can take over because we know how to throw a spear or whatever, because we had to learn because we had to live in the wild. I thought it was very interesting. This is a conceit.
That is pretty interesting.
Like we don't know anything anthropologically. Like we pretend we know so much and we don't know anything.
Yeah.
And we have so much. Even the most hardcore scientist who goes into something, they could have the most nobly objective thoughts. Like they could think they're the most detached in the world, but they could still be a product of their environment.
Yeah.
And like have presumptions about definitions of race and things like that that they don't even know that they have.
Well, this is why I can subscribe to so many things so easily is because
you're some weird race.
Our history is
wrong. Who knows even what Willie is? Are you Samoan? What are you?
I can sneak in. Like, our history is clearly wrong. Like, our history doesn't
Samoan
include
history.
The history of that library that burned in Alexandria, you know? And there's so much history that is ignored or, like, the Egyptians had history, too, but we don't talk about history before them. I'm just saying that, like, okay, in that realm, in the realm of science, it's just like, we are told something. We are believed that it's true. People get so mad that Pluto isn't a planet anymore. we attach ourselves to these things. And I'm like, I'm telling you, our science is not what it is going to be later. Things are going to evolve.
And a good scientist knows that. A good scientist is very...
And most people's response is like, no, this is how it is. This is no.
That's dogma. A good scientist knows that they're a religion.
Yeah.
Because a good scientist, if you say that word to them, they'll blanch because they have to. But from an objective perspective, science is simply the current dominant and superior religion.
Yeah.
It is the way that we worship the unknown. It is simply the emergent religion. Science's roots are in religion. All of the people who told us that what goes up must come down, et cetera. These people started, Gregor Mendel was a monk. You know, he's studying genetics with his pea plants and stuff.
Yeah. Einstein was trying to describe the universe the way God would see it.
Like, right.
A lot of our early scientists are all very religious.
We are all, like, scientists are doing the same thing that good religious people are doing, which is holding hands, spreading out, agreeing on a rule, and proceeding forward across a field looking for an abducted girl named God. You know, like trying to make sure that no one ever has to cover the same ground. You know, okay, I found a bloody shoe. She must be close. What a metaphor I've picked. Astronomers are going like, what happened 0.3 seconds before the Big Bang?
Yeah.
Et cetera. It's like you're doing the same thing that monks are doing.
Yeah.
If they're good monks.
You have to have faith in the Big Bang because
it's not. I think
they're
really shitty scientists.
Yeah.
And there are really shitty religious people. And I think there are really smart religious people and really great scientists. And I think that they have so much more in common with each other than these other people. And I think the difference is like having your head up your ass or not.
Yeah.
Like if you wake up in the morning and you think you know everything, you're a piece of shit.
And also most people in that description though don't know that they think that way, you know?
they just get adamant about things because we all get excited about that stuff. That's why racism exists. That's why ageism exists. That's why generationalism exists. It's because you get excited. Your primate brain gets excited when you're provided with a category by which you can judge
that you fit in and
an otherwise chaotic world. So if I get told, oh, baby boomers do this and millennials do this and Generation X does that, I'm going to harp on that because I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. I get it.
Definitely.
Otherwise, it's just a world full of fucking random assholes.
All that aside, we can agree that baby boomers and millennials are the worst.
They're
right?
Pieces of shit. They're
fucking
garbage.
Assholes. Jesus Christ. I mean,
we're
so
talking
selfish.
About most of our listeners. But yes, they are fascist pieces.
Get over
of shit.
Yourself.
That yell was me spilling my vodka over my wee wee.
Yes, we can all agree that Generation X is a tiny
by
generation.
By far. The best.
Only we will live and die as the only people that knew.
We're
the
only.
Real way to
we're
be
the
human
only.
Is to not
we're,
give a shit.
We're the only generation that actually watched music videos on MTV. Like that's how you define our
and
generation.
And hated it.
Yeah, and we fucking despised it.
And the fuck we is hated it. We knew what we're doing, man. You put on a flannel shirt, put your hands in your pockets, you look at the floor, and come what may.
Yeah.
You don't fucking vote, pieces
fuck that.
Of garbage.
No.
Yeah. So,
so what happened to the pilot, Lieutenant whatever,
Admiral
Byrd?
So let me catch up the Nazis to Admiral Byrd real quick.
Okay.
So in the early 30s, in the early 30s, the Nazis had captured a downed UFO ship, right? A UFO crashed. They went and got it. They tried.
Where?
Did I write it down?
What'd you ask?
Where?
Oh.
I mean, it's a
Germany.
It what region? I mean, it's just like not, you know.
I didn't write it down. But basically,
Dufendorf.
So Himmler came in and collected it, and they started to try to reverse engineer it. There were beings in it. They brought in the Maria Osterich in here to try to channel. I don't know if they were alive or not, but I think that let's assume that they were dead. The inhabitants of this UFO, her connecting to it helped her connect to where they came from, and that they came from inside the Earth. They're an advanced race there.
The UFO is from inside the Earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
See?
And so they're talking to.
Because where else would it be from, by the way? Why would you make a fucking. Like, cause look how we're exploring space.
If you're going to get a ship going from galaxy to galaxy, you're going to have a big mothership.
When we.
Picture Independence
contact
Day.
Distant planets, the day that we as a species. Arrive at a different planet that supports life, do you think we're going to be in a fucking, like, metal tube with a dude in a steering wheel? No. We're like, our philosophy is, like, you put, like, 3D printers on asteroids and nanobots, like, assemble shit. It's like, because you have to cast a wide net to, yeah. Yeah. Like it's going to be probes that, like... Yeah. Anyways, so so when you talk about UFOs, even though it seems silly, it's if you said to me, "Oh, they're from the inside of the Earth," that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, then Andromeda.
That makes a UFO make more sense to me.
Well,
because it's like a you know, like in a Gary Larson cartoon when the goldfish has to explore the outside world and he's on the piano keys outside the goldfish bowl and he's got, you know, he's like a goldfish's version of an astronaut. So it's like what is the inside of the Earth? Yeah, they'd make like this dumb saucer, you know, to go out there. Anyways.
Yeah, the saucer is a short-range vehicle that it does generate its own gravity, but... at this point, Maria Osterich starts connecting to this other race.
This is Hitler's friend with the long hair.
Yeah. And so
Crystal Gale.
They tell him about entrances into the inner Earth and that there's one in Tibet. They go to Tibet. That there's one possibly underneath the Great Pyramid. They go to the Great Pyramid. Also, they're looking for these ancient relics, but it's funny to me that they're also going there looking for entrances into the Hollow Earth. So the one in the South Pole, at this point, now, there are records of this, but they're not that good. And I know that the Nazis kept the best records of anything, but we also took away some of those records when we bought out all their scientists. You know, like, we took their scientists, they got us to the moon, whatever.
America's built on great Nazi thought. Yeah. Yes.
So they start sending supplies, and they start – there are supplies that are unaccounted for in their perfect records that all were going to Antarctica. Supposedly, they found a tunnel underneath the ice that got them to what somebody sneaked out in some speech as an oasis. And even at the very end of the war, like, they were being like, what we found now is going to help us win the war. And you could say that that was them lying to cover up the fact that they knew they were going to lose. But also, so the Nazis are in Antarctica. They supposedly, according to this, they met with those people, and those people at Agartha let them start buildings down there and let them live down there.
I thought these Agartha people could sense a good egg.
Yeah, I thought these Agartha people. Yes. Yeah.
They let that pilot guy in there.
So they didn't let – the thing is, the Agarthans didn't let – anybody
Jews in.
They didn't let anybody who ran a concentration camp. There were guys that were turned away.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know. It's all convenient. It is all convenient.
But this is the Agarthan morning show. You know, there are good Nazis and bad Nazis.
We like to call the bad ones thugs now.
He was just being told, he was just doing what he was told.
Oh,
it was his
boy.
Job. But anyways, at this point,
meanwhile, Admiral Byrd's showing his passport. His I swear to God, I'm good.
It's just me.
Yeah. I'm wondering, did they ever send just a black guy? Like, I want to know where these Agarthans stand. Like, are they racist or not? I can't tell.
I don't know.
They love Nazis.
There's no way a black guy's ever been.
Well, here's the thing. There's a religious guy who goes through this whole spiel of the Hollow Earth, brings up the Nazis, brings up Admiral Byrd, and he says this, that the people inside the Earth are actually demons, and they're projecting a nice life, but they're actually demons, like, you know, inviting them all in.
I go there. If
you'd
they
go
love,
there, you would do that?
If they love Nazis.
No, isn't the point to get you there so that then they can sacrifice you to their demon god?
No, I mean, I'm saying I'm on board with this.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I thought you were saying, like, yeah.
Like, yes, there
forget
is a hollow
the Bahamas.
Earth. There's a hollow Earth, and this would explain why they're able to withstand extreme heat.
Because they're demons. They're the devil's spot.
Except I don't know why these Nazis and Admiral Byrd got a... But, you know...
Well, then, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want them to be demons. I don't want them to be demons either. But I don't want to kiss their ass either. Fuck them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pieces of
shit. I mean, that's true. They have it better than us, apparently.
Like, what the fuck? What makes
them, why should they have it so great? Why can't we live down there?
More vitamins and...
I just want to watch their movies.
They have probably living on mammoth meat. It's probably really good for
them. Oh, I bet it's so good.
Well, I bet they're shitty to mammoths.
It's weird.
I bet they're assholes too, man.
I bet they have mammoth slaughterhouses.
You know what they are? They're just the country club people.
They're just assholes.
They just don't want to let us in.
Well, we're smarter than you, just so you know. We'll get that out of the way.
They're all white. That makes them bad automatically.
So supposedly, though, Nazis, they're building a base. They're going into the Hollow Earth. And so Admiral Byrd, at this point, this is when they have that science expedition that is filled with all the destroyers. There were like 12 ships with them. They're going down there to be like, no, we want this.
Oh, shit. So they, as far as they know, they're invading Nazi inter-Earth.
Yeah. And so there are accounts, and if this really happened— We still wouldn't know about it in the same way. This is why I can believe that this happened. There are people that were on these ships that said, so this was supposed to be an 8-month expedition to figure out the South Pole with all these naval ships. They go there. They encounter, so this at this point, this is all speculation. The expedition did happen, and they did turn around 8 weeks later instead of 8 months and they were missing a destroyer. So they supposedly they go down there and they encounter the Nazis. I don't know if this is Hollow Earth or in Antarctica or whatever, but there are people that claim that there were disc style crafts coming out of the water and shooting them with lasers and other things.
Oh no!
So so basically UFOs are with the Nazis, whether they built them or not, I don't know.
Jesus!
One of the destroyers sinks, and then they turn around and come back.
Jesus, this is our worst nightmare.
Yeah, so we were right. Like, these people are assholes.
These racist fuckers would beat us to the punch, and they made friends with these fucking asshole hippie scientists from the center of the earth, and they're attacking us with flying saucers. Don't they know how good they could have had it? They could have Adam Sandler movies down there. Instead, they're probably down there just being proud of their race. And,
yeah. Why aren't you wearing the uniform I gave you, Zib-Zab?
oh, my God. That's terrible.
But, yeah, the facts of
They fucked up. So they fucked up.
The facts are, though.
So
that's why President Obama isn't down there right now, because...
He should lower... Well, we should lower a bomb down there on a fishing line.
Yeah, we should fuck them all up.
Here's the other side of it, too. So, okay, I don't believe that Hitler committed suicide, and I believe that there's proof of that.
Okay.
He got on
a
submarine and went down there. They saw him
in
Argentina.
He got down in a submarine? From Berlin?
Yeah.
What, he's like Batman?
The only accounts of them...
Well, he flew to Argentina first.
No,
right?
This was all submarines. There's FBI.gov has these articles that... Or has this information that says that they've spotted Hitler in Argentina after the war. So, is FBI.gov credible? I think so.
Oh, well, and any given Monday, yeah.
I'm like, no, the funny thing is, though,
reliable sources at the American government.
People who are constantly spying on us
and lying to us constantly. Things that aren't true.
If you made FBI.gov, though, and it was a fake site, would they take it
That's
away from
a little
you?
Hypocritical
yes, they would. Yes.
From a conspiracy theorist. Yes, if Hitler were alive, yes, the same FBI.gov that is hiding the Hollow Earth from you would certainly hide the Hitler sighting.
Well, to me, it's Hitler buying romaine lettuce at the Sam's Club. the whole thing about secret government is misdirection.
Right.
And so maybe this
is another way of saying that you arrive at a conclusion, you back into it by way of saying that the government wants you to think whatever you think.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing I have about conspiracy theories is that it's not, they're fun, but you basically, like, you kind of arrive at a thing.
Yeah.
And then you write in reverse, and the most compelling explanation for all of it is if somebody says, but why would they do it that way? And then the conspiracy theorist always says to that person, because look at the world we live in now. Don't you think they wanted this? And it's like, well... I don't know anybody that would want this world.
The only people that would want this world are the people running it.
Right.
Because we can't stand up. We can't say anything against them.
Voting. And for that reason, I believe in something worse than a conspiracy, which is systemic thinking. I don't think anybody that you could point to in this country is in control of it. I think there's something it's just inhumanity is in control. Like, people are just selling each other out because everybody wants to be rich and everybody wants to...
But in that realm, though...
100%.
I totally agree with that, but I also think that the banks are running this country. And the banks are owned by the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds are running the country.
I wouldn't stamp my feet and say no to that because it's like I would need to read a book before I talked about that. I'll believe you if you say that. I think that money controls the country. I think that capitalism suggests to us all that that there is a dollar value on the human life and that there's a dollar value on happiness, and then it just puts everything into play.
Yeah,
and
I don't think we all do terrible things
to each other.
I don't think there's a greater evil. I think everybody is going, like, if I do this, my boss will promote me and then I'll get more money. And then his boss is
saying... And I think
there's
layers of stupidity. Absolutely. I think it's, like, willfully, like, encouraged. I think that the fact that 200 of the 250 million people in this country watch 16 hours of television a day and just believe everything it says, and the fact that that television only ever says this baby got lost in a well and the stock is up and down and ISIS is bad. I think that is all It might as well be a conspiracy, but the thing that makes me sad is I wish there were seven guys in a room deciding that stuff.
Yeah.
Because then you could go slit their throats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not.
My worst fear is.
I don't. Yeah, I don't
fucking
think
Skynet. You know, it's like it's.
Yeah, I don't.
It's a Matrix.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I don't mean literally, but I mean like we've done it to ourselves. This is what we've done.
But I don't think it's a distraction. I think it's just us being dumb. It's not a distraction. They're not trying to distract us from the bigger things. It's like the bigger things are happening. You hear about them, you know. We hear about, like, the riots in Baltimore.
I don't know
stuff
if that's
like
true,
that.
Though. No, the bigger things that are happening have been happening for 6,000 years. The bigger things that are happening are that the rich own the poor. That should be a huge topic.
Yeah.
Given our
but
fascination.
But, Harmon, give me a headline. We got to sell some papers here.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm
but
saying.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, okay. if it doesn't sell the paper, then you're not going to hear about
it. But there's not evil stopping it from getting out there. It's just not. Nobody cares about that enough to buy
the
paper.
Well, yeah, and most of the harm that's being done is by the people who are in charge of the newspapers and the media.
And you know that if you accrue enough wealth where you're about to buy a newspaper.
Which would be a horrible, horrible investment at this point.
You know that you're not the kind of guy that wants to encourage talk among the proletariat.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, you know that that's not in your interest.
I mean, that's my conspiracy theory is just...
And
yeah,
that's just it. And that guy hires an editor-in-chief, and the editor hires reporters. And,
right.
And you have what Noam Chomsky calls indoctrination. Like, and so you have White House press corps, and it's like, if you want to be in this room when the White House press correspondent says something, you need to prove that you're worth being in this room by not being a rabble-rouser.
Right.
So over the last 60 years, it's like... A guy comes out, stands behind a podium, and says what the truth is, and a bunch of reporters who want to keep their job, like, report that.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, there's somebody who pipes up, and, like, that lady that became famous, and, like, it's like, oh, no, you're a piece of garbage because you're an anarchist and a hippie, and fuck you, and you're dead, and fuck you, stab you in the face. It's, like, it's pretty... egregious.
Oh, it's
and it doesn't need
well, no,
to
I
be
mean, there's no further you don't have to look at it any further than just what America is doing to well, yes, but currently what America is doing to Edward Snowden who's like
right.
giving people a big sort of resource of hey, this is rich people going against you and right. then the rich people who run the government saying like no, he's a
enemy.
He's right. a Benedict Arnold.
Like, and then all the poor people like falling in line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because patriotism, jingoism, evangelism, racism, these are all things that are just artificial constructs. They are created in, by people who have money because people who have money can never actually faithfully and honestly instigate a government in which a bunch of poor people agree to support a tiny amount of rich people. Right. So the tiny amount of rich people need to tell a bunch of poor people that your neighbor's racist and your neighbor's a terrorist and your neighbor's a pedophile and your neighbor's a sexist and your neighbor is and your country's so important and that there's people with towels on their heads that are trying to kill you and if you're thinking this way then you're thinking against this way and it's either this or it's that and you always have to choose one or the other. God forbid, like the one thing that you definitely don't want to do is wake up tomorrow morning with a fresh mind, get up out of bed, make your own decisions, talk to your neighbor honestly and intimately, and decide with that person, and maybe even with your family, what your next course of action should be, because that is insurrection. That is what goes on in medieval countries.
Right. Yeah.
That's the shit that needs to be put down with drones. Here in America, we don't need to do it with drones. We do it with fucking CNN.
Yeah. And you, Snickers bars.
You wake up in the morning and you think the person next to you is trying to keep you from getting rich.
Yeah.
Give me a break, am I right? Kit Kat. Kit Kat.
So anyways, Hollow Earth. What if the Earth was filled with caramel? How about that theory?
It might be almost as delicious as a Snickers.
What if a new theory emerged?
What if our
Earth
planet was
filled
just
with delicious
candy
nougat
for a
just
giant Dorito?
It's where we get the Dorito flavor.
The nougat Earth theory.
So basically, I mean, take all of the Nazis, the secret war, whatever. Here are the facts of the case. You know, the Nazis were there. The Admiral Byrd did go there on a science expedition with a naval fleet and came back with one less destroyer. And
but do we really know these things are facts?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think they're facts, dude. Yeah, but
do you guys get tweeted all the time with people correcting you? And you must, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
but Operation High Jump and Operation High Jump was him flying. But another fact is that he wrote that his diary was released by his nephew after he died. He did talk about things before he died. Other weird things are, he had an interview with National Geographic in like 19. I think it was 47. I'm not sure. Somewhere in there, and supposedly somebody came in, bought all the copies, destroyed the plates, and his interview doesn't exist. And with the National Geographic, and then some other, like a UFO magazine. But anyways,
and he could be crazy. He could be a crazy guy.
But they still kept sending him out, though.
They could even have. Well, that's the weirdest part of that story.
He went to the North Pole, the South Pole, and then the South Pole with the fleet.
The president going like, huh, a giant hole, eh? Mammoths, you say.
And supposedly...
Try and find another one.
You better get to the South Pole and fast, see? I'm sending you a fleet.
These people talk about this, too, how in a skyscraper...
Forget about going back to the North Pole.
Right, yeah.
With a fleet.
Let's never do that.
Why don't you go to the South Pole?
Let's all agree to never go back to the hole you said you found. I say.
Well, the South Pole
has had better luck with the South Hole anyway.
The South Pole hole had, you could, since there was land there, you could build a base next to the entrance.
Wow. Well, that explains everything. No, come on. You'd go back to the North Hole.
Yeah, it's there.
They never went back.
Supposedly, there is a skyscraper in Washington. If you get into the elevator and punch the right code in, there's a secret floor. And on that secret floor is like a council of basically a UN, but that includes people from the inner earth. Because at this point, we're still friends. We have become friends with some of these Nazis because, you know.
What?
And they made the trek out to the sticks, huh? Fucking sit in a building.
Does the elevator go? I mean, does that imply that? There's a connection
that goes down?
Underneath.
Oh, no. It's just like a floor that doesn't show up on the elevator.
So there's not like underneath DC, there's not a portal.
Well, the funny thing.
I bet we got pretty good views, though. I bet they come here for the views.
The funny thing about that, though, is that okay, let's say that there is somebody on this floor that is basically a UN member of the inner earth. He has to take the elevator, too.
What do you mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, well, because
I mean, does he look? Because
there's two scenarios. One is that you're going to a place where the inner Earth people can get from they have a skyscraper and they go down, which is our up, and they end up.
Oh
in the same place.
No, it's not that.
No, probably the truth is funnier in that case. Is that the inner the Agarthians? If you're a diplomat from Agarthia, you have to go like. See you later, sweetie. I'm going to the surface world today. Take care of the mammoth doodle, and I'll be home in time for dinner. And then you get
give
the
me
limo.
The gloves. Give me the gloves that make it look like I have fingers.
And you go to and you go to the mammoth the pterodactyl airstrip. And the flying saucer takes you up through a hole. And then you fly to New York and land like in Jersey.
Work.
And then you take a cab.
You're getting a cab.
I'll wait for the next one. This
encapsulated
is
encapsulated in material.
You must
from
be
head
so
to
frustrated
toe.
Because I imagine in every meeting where the president's like, "Look, we just want to know if there's more oil down there." And I imagine at some point you'd be like, "Dude, do you understand? I am." 90 meters from where I live, but I had to travel 9,000 miles.
You know,
as the crow flies, assuming the crow would have a diamond-tipped drill for a beak, I'm so close to my grandmother's house. Like,
I have to wear a welding helmet to open my eyes out here. I look like a fucking idiot. I came here. I'm sitting on this council. I'm on the 50th floor of this building.
I look like a jackass.
Everybody stares at me. I look like powder.
None of you people from take the movie Magmors.
Why don't you come down? Why don't you just once
come down? Come down to our UN.
Just once.
Yeah.
Well,
boy.
There are other older stories of people that have taken boats and then ended up in the same
predicament.
there's this guy who went there with his dad. He was like, hey, we're just going to the North. I don't know if they were planning on going to the North Pole, but they ended up, traveling into the inner Earth, and all of a sudden they're, there's green lands, there's dinosaurs, whatever. They meet these people, and then they came out through the South Pole, and when they were coming out, some iceberg, broke, and it killed his dad, and so... This kid's talking about this story, right?
If that's true, I'm so sorry to laugh. But it sounds so funny.
So he starts telling people where they came from.
It's like a cartoon. It's like Wile E. Coyote. A fucking iceberg just breaks off the top and just kills his dad.
It's like Grey's Anatomy.
And he's standing right there.
Dad!
This kid starts telling the story of where they came from. He gets put into a mental ward. And then he finally gets taken out in his old age, and he still doesn't talk about this stuff. And then somebody wrote down his memoirs, and that he retold that story again. But I mean, there's a few stories of people going into the inner Earth, and then some people claim that a lot of these Hollywood movies that they're not let's make a movie about the inner Earth so people will never believe it, but more that the collective human consciousness, because it's real, some people can create these stories because it is real, and they actually don't know that what they're looking at is the truth, and that they treat it as a story. I don't know, whatever.
Wait, I don't understand that.
Well, that's just he's saying that people have come up with this theory because of
their connection to what's
osmosis. Through osmosis, they're But that's it's not hard to come up with a story that takes place on a hollow earth. I mean, that's just creative.
I agree. 6 year old.
No, I agree.
Right, which is why it's part of popular mythology.
Right,
because it's a 6 year old's idea.
Because it's fun to think about. You go, you look at the ground, and you go, what if there's something under there?
What if you dug down?
It's the first thing that you think about.
It's the first thing. It's before you think about a rocket ship, you think about.
It's while you're digging a hole to poop to take your first shit. Well, your second one, because your first one smelled so bad you wanted to bury it.
All right, so I have to go to the bathroom, so we should wrap it up. Yeah. Unless you guys want to keep talking, and I'll just take a break. But
I think that I have said everything I want.
I think it's been a pretty heavy episode.
All right, so what do you think now?
I wouldn't be shocked if people wrote in and said this is their favorite episode, and that they wanted me to come back all the time.
Well,
that wouldn't blow my mind. It happens to me a lot. I go on podcasts.
At least one other time it's happened to you.
Are you talking about my midnight show?
Yeah, at midnight.
Yeah. They're submitting that episode for an Emmy.
Oh, my God. Would you get one? No, right?
Nah, probably not, but my work would be done.
Yeah, but you would be aware.
I'd know. It would be my Emmy.
Any final thoughts on Hollow Earth?
Well, I think that if there's any takeaway from it, I think the important thing about this, especially, more even than alien theory and stuff, I think it's important for kids to realize that right underneath your feet is the stuff that for real, it's an unknown world, and you only know because someone told you what's down there.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that's a really healthy mythological impulse, is to mistrust everything. And at the end of There Will Be Blood, the protagonist, if you can call him that, reveals that he slant drilled into the other guy's oil. It's shady shit happens underneath the earth. And it has since ancient Greek mythology. And it's for you as a, I don't know, to suspect that underneath your feet there are Nazi astronauts breeding and sending ships up, I think that's a healthy assumption.
I mean, it's better than watching 15-year-olds on YouTube, right?
Yeah. It's better than Bieber, boo.
I just got the new iPad. I'm going to open it up for you guys. There's a plastic on top of the box.
These motherfuckers on YouTube are getting $50,000 to do a Vine with a Red Bull in the background. It's just like, fuck off.
Shit, man. Put a Nazi in there.
All right. Well, Willie, you got anything? Or
no. No, I have nothing.
Okay.
tweet us at Real Life Sci-Fi. Or
tweet these guys.
And
I want to know more about this stuff.
Yeah. Watch. Like,
tweet me, too, at Dan Harmon.
At Dan Harmon. I'm at Wade Randolph with a PH. And there's no Y in Wade, by the way.
Oh, wait. I say tweet. There is no Real Life Sci-Fi tweet. It's Robotic Willie. There isn't one. I haven't made one yet.
If you live close to L.A. and you have pressing thoughts about Hollow Earth...
We'll be at the drawing room tonight.
Come to Harmontown at Meltdown Comics.
Well, there's your plug.
Sunday?
We record every Sunday, and you come up on stage.
And you're more than welcome to come.
Talk about Hollow Earth.
Yeah, there's nobody turned away from that place. I can vouch for that.
it's a revival tent if evangelism was Asperger's.
All right, well, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Don't believe everything you're told?
Wait, Willie says that?
Feral Audio. Hello, I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. And he's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich...
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat.
I help people.
She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My